If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the SCI call on the 30th of August. And on the line, we have Avery Doria, Wolf Ulrich Knobin, Ron Andruff, Ray Fassett, Anne Aitman Skelezi, and for staff, and J. Scott Evans has just joined. And for staff, we have Julie Headland, Marika Konigs, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Géry. We have apologies from Mary Wong, and as far as I know, there are no other apologies. So before I hand over to Wolf Ulrich Knobin, may I just ask you all please to say your name before you speak for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and good afternoon, good evening, hello to everybody. Let's go through the agenda right now. So we have the statement of interest, and I would like to ask if anybody has something to disclose with regards to the statement of interest. I hear none.
Actually, this is Avery, and I should probably mention in a group like this that I'm now also an observer in the registry stakeholder group.
Okay, good. That's noted. Thank you. I have sent out an approval prepared by myself and Avery and the agenda for the, and then I'm asking for approval. Is there any comment on the agenda? Thank you. Nothing. So then let's start with the agenda. At first, we have the point of the consent agenda, which we have several times talked about. And we had in the past a public comment on what we have recommended with regards to the modifications of the GNSO operating procedures. The public comment period has been finished. There was an evaluation done by staff of the public comments. To my knowledge, there was just one comment from the registry giving support to that. And this period is now closed, and we should talk about the follow-up of this right now. Julie, am I right? So may I ask you, what is the status about that?
Hello, Wolf Ulrich. It's Julie Headland, for the record. Yes, the public comment period closed. The reply period closed on the 20th of August. There was one comment received. It was from the registry stakeholder group, and it was in favor of the proposed changes to the operating procedures. I prepared a very brief analysis of that one comment and posted that to the SCI list for review. And so that's the current status.
Thank you very much, Julie. So right now it seems to be that there is consensus in this group and about this content agenda, and there's an agreement on that. So we should inform the council and ask for the for that what we have provided for that. That means I'm going well to give the council some a report about that, a report about what we have discussed, and then putting forward a CI recommendation. The question is in which form we should do that. Is that normally done in form of a motion that we have to get approval by the council from? I see Marika.
This is Marika. Yes, I think it would be the appropriate way to go to have it in the form of a motion. I did know that I think Stefan has put it on the consent agenda as an item, foreseeing that you know this might be coming. So I think it's at least already there, but I guess you know it could still be taken back. Although I think Stefan's approach has been so far that only items that didn't have a motion could be on the consent agenda. But it's interesting to see now that, of course, the new provision foresees that any motion can be there unless it's not a policy or PDP-related vote. So we might need to talk on the chair's call how to handle that one.
Okay. But you mean for the next meeting on the 13th of September?
Yes, correct. And I'm happy to prepare a draft motion if you like.
Okay, that would be great. So we have Judy has already prepared some background, short background. That if you could incorporate that to the draft motion, that would be helpful.
Yes, definitely. And I think as well, what is on the screen now, because what Judy prepared is the report of public comments. So if there are no further comments are added to that, we can also go ahead and post that report and close the forum officially.
Okay.
I think, this is Julie, though. I think what's on the screen now that I look at it is actually the, that was the original announcement. The analysis report is a different document. I can go ahead and try to put that on the screen. Or what we could do is I did post that to the list. It is really exceedingly brief. There is no complexity involved in analyzing that one comment because really all the report says is there was a comment received, and this is in brief what it said, and it was in support of that, those changes. So if there are no objections from the SCI, that analysis I can go ahead and be posted to the online, and then that will effectively close the whole forum, and it will be archived.
Yes, that would be helpful. But I mean, what in case you will have a motion on that in the next a council meeting, that it would be helpful that we have a draft motion which makes reference to what we have done, and that is written already in your short background and discussion paper you sent out last time. Remember that after last meeting, you provided some background information on that. I think that could be incorporated in the draft motion, and then we forward that to the council, and I can also explain something if there are questions.
Right. This is Julie. I'll work with Marika on that and make sure that all the information is in place.
Okay. I see also one is agreeing to that. Thank you. Is there any question about that process or any something open? No. Okay. Thank you. Then the same is the next item we have on the agenda is then the voting. It's the same, okay, under the same item is with regards to the voting results. So we could also add the voting results table and provide that to the council, and they, okay, that is the update of the voting results table, and as required, and there's consensus on that, and that is what we can refer to in the council meeting as well. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think what we can do is, as part of the motion, provide them with likely put out for public comment the red line version of the operating procedure so they can see indeed the changes that were made in relation to the consent agenda as well as the voting thresholds on the voting table. And then have, you know, the clean version is then the one that they approve, and once that gets done, that will then get posted as well on the GNSO website.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay, then it seems to me that we have two of these points already done. And then we have The next point on the agenda is proxy voting procedure, where we had also a recommendation to the council. And this is what I'm... That is what Julie provided some background information with regards to our discussion we had on that, and our recommendation not to change the proxy notification procedures in the operating rules, rather than to request staff for making this little change in the rules with regards to the notification, which should be sent in parallel to the Chinzo Council and to the Secretariat in parallel. So that's what we are on, and this is what we need to provide for the Council as well to get acceptance from our recommendation. So I wonder whether this should be included as well in the in that motion we are talking about, that if that is possible, or I would say, because we have an agreement, we could incorporate that. And okay, I see many raising their hand and saying yes, so let's do that. And I'm asking Julie and Marie-Cabal to take care about that, well, to incorporate that in the motion. Is that okay?
Yes, that's okay. The only thing there we need to see how to word, because I think basically the recommendation is to make no changes, but I think we can just cover that in one of the sub-items.
Yes. Okay. Good. Then let's go to the next point. Deferral of motions, which is still under discussion. Just to wrap up from the last time, so we came out from the last meeting asking Ron for making suggestions, and Ron came back with two versions of suggestions. One is let's wait and see, let me say, for another year, and let's monitor the council and what's going on with regards to requests for deferral, and let's then after that time decide. And the other one was let it change right now. It means and set a limit on the number of deferrals. And then the suggestion was, well, one limit, set a limit of one deferral which should be allowed, and put that item of deferral to the agenda and to a, let me say, priority place of the agenda of the next council session. So that's where we are, and we had a, let me say, kind of voting or kind of opinion rating on the list with some support to the first suggestion, and there was support or was support for the second suggestion as well, and there was disagreement and there was amendments. So we have many facets of, and we have many things to discuss about that. And I open that for discussion right now, and I see you on. Please, Ron.
Thank you, Chairman. I think you just described that situation very clearly, and I appreciate it. Thank you. I just wanted to comment that everything that we've done today has moved through this program very beautifully. We've looked at consent agenda, we've looked at proxy voting, we've looked at other elements, and now we're on deferral of motions. And mostly we've had a very light touch, and it's been great to see it. There's so many elements within ICANN right now that are being defined by policy and procedures and things to do around the new TLD program that affect all of the constituencies. We've got GNSO review coming up shortly. There's a lot of things where policy and development is underway. So I think the fact that we have managed a light touch is admirable. And I just want to put my vote in here. I see there was a vote was not the right word. There really, these are expressions of interest or expressions of support for either one. And I just wanted to mention that I also supported the light touch approach to look 1 year from now and see if this is not, if this has been abused, have staff come back to us and demonstrate that. I think because we've raised this to the level we have and people are aware of the issue, I think most people would be loath to try to exploit the situation and use a deferral of motions for a negative way. So I would like to see this thing come through 1 year from now where staff says, well, we looked at it again and there was, again, were very few deferrals and these are the reasons. And we go, oh, wow, that's good. We actually figured out policy and then we implemented that policy in a way that we can be very proud of. So I'm hoping that we go the light touch route, but I'm happy to support the second route where we would set a limit. I strongly believe one is plenty, and the deferral shows up immediately in the next meeting. I think that really hinders the issue. But I would hope we go light touch on this. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. Avi, next, please.
Yes, thank you. Avi Doria. Yeah, in terms of myself and discussions within NCSG, the only reason that I didn't go in favor of a light touch is that I'm not even sure that we need to plan on putting it on the table already for next year. I think if it becomes an issue again, it's easy enough for the council to raise it. We come back, we say, you know, recommend staying with status quo, you know, if it starts to bother people because they don't think it's working right, then ask again and not put an automatic timer on it. That's pretty much the only reason I didn't go on a light touch. Definitely against two, definitely against the notion of there being one and only one, because just like having many can be an abuse, knowing that someone is limited to one can also be abused. And so I think that if we're not going with a light touch, if we're not expecting a collegial D council to behave itself and only do it when it's necessary and such, then I think we need a much more complicated set of rules that deal with reasons for deferral and allow for multiples. So that's pretty much where, you know, NCSG stands on this at the moment. I think one of the reasons we have gotten through is because when we have found that we have, you know, different objections, like in the proxy voting, someone basically just sort of drops back and sort of says, okay, let's live with what we've got, essentially. So I think in this case, with many disparate views of how it should be done, you know, the best option we have is to live with it, and if it doesn't work, then review it again when asked. Thanks.
Thanks, Alfred. Let me just ask for clarification question regarding your discussion coming from the NCSG. You mentioned, if I understand well, you would be in favor with the status quo. On the one hand, status quo means the situation we have at the time being. So that's my understanding. But on the other hand, you would be in favor for more than one deferrals. Or let me say the other way around, and then would be against the option of having only one.
Yeah.
one deferral. So how does that fit together? So is my question, is there a priority of one or two? Or?
At the moment, for example, the status quo is not specific about whether it can be done just once. And
okay.
Therefore, there isn't a strict block to once. Obviously,
yes.
Every time you do it, the pressure on you from the G Council to have a really good reason is already naturally there. Now, Ron had said he wanted to limit it to one to ensure no stonewalling. And I agree with that. But, for example, if the reason for deferring at once is that more information is required, and that information does not show up, another form of stonewalling, perhaps. And, you know that I don't have to give you the information that's been asked for because you can't defer again based on missing information. So that's sort of the opposite case that allows for abuse. It's a different form of stonewalling, you know. Mm. So basically, that's why I believe NCSG, we've talked about it, is very against a hard limit of just one.
Okay.
But very much doesn't even necessarily believe in an automatic one, and would argue that if there is a set of rules, then there probably should even be a rule for the first one, and just the 8 days wasn't enough for us to get a comment isn't a good enough rule, and therefore we need to be really think about why and not. I would prefer to just leave status quo. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Jay Scott, please.
Well, I think my problem is I don't have a problem with the status quo except for the fact that there's no ability when there are exigent circumstances to change that, or at least that's what Stefan said in Costa Rica, was he had to grant it, and even if a majority of people felt like granting a deferral of a motion would bog up the entire process due to time constraints, he had to grant it. So the problem I have is there's no flexibility in the status quo for when circumstances dictate that perhaps granting a deferral is not in the best interest of the council to get the issue resolved. So I don't have a problem with a light touch approach, but the problem is there is no way for anyone to say no under the current process. And the explanation that I heard Stefan say, well, this has been an informal thing that's always been granted to everybody. For that reason, I'm going to grant it here. So I don't think that's a workable situation. I just don't think that's workable. I don't think that's a solution. I have no problem with there being a very light-touch rule that says anyone can ask for a deferral. They can ask for a deferral as many times as they want. But the question is, when the majority of the council says, nope, we don't buy it, we're going to vote you down, they should be able to do so. There should be some stopgap or safety mechanism put into play.
Okay, Juan, please. Juan, do you raise your hands?
Yes, okay, there. Sorry, I had to get off mute. I agree with what Jay Spaz just said. The concept and the principle that there should be a way for the council to vote something down. My concern is that there's going to be, depending on what the issue is, it could be something that really strikes different groups, and you get a logjam again at the council level. I think what we want to do is try to, I don't want to be Pollyanna because ICANN is far from this perfect child, but the fact is that we need to point to the things that work within ICANN as the overall discussion, even within the IGF. So here's something that worked. There was a discussion about we need to have certain policies, and a group was put on it. That group then talked it all through and came up with the policy. It was enshrined in legalese by ICANN legal department, and then it was implemented. And when it came back for review, when something came up as not having have a patch on it, did we have to slap a patch on it? No. In fact, it works well, so we trusted that, to make sure that it's at the top of people's mind, that they know they can't abuse it because it's something that's being watched closely now by the community. And we just let it unfold, and in fact, a year from now, we didn't have that problem again. I think you can't go down the road and think that you're never going to get a hole in your tire, because sooner or later, you're going to get a hole in your tire. And so this just happened to this year. As you mentioned, Jay Scott, we got a hole in our tire, and this happened. Now let's see if we can go forward without putting a patch on it. Let's just see if it'll solve itself. And not we've brought it the right attention to it. Again, the issue is more about people using this thing. I agree with Aubrey's argument also. It's the stonewalling comment. It's just that at some point, someone is going to abuse this. So now it's not being abused, but it's being talked about quite significantly within this body and others. So therefore, let's see what happens 12 months from now or whenever this thing raises its ugly head. But in 12 months, we'll get a review for sure. But if it raises its head again in 18 months, then let's put something on it with the STI that with a serious look at it, say this has happened twice in a certain period of time. How do we deal with it then? I would rather go that way, because otherwise you're going to have we're just playing into one scenario or another. So anyway, I'll jump off and let Ray take the word. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. So I would like to refer to Ray, because Ray had a different opinion also raised. He was not satisfied with both of the. Of the options, so in this case, but maybe he can explain again, please, Ray.
Yes, that's correct, Wolf. Ray Fassett. Yeah, a lot of help the registry stakeholder group was, right? They didn't like either one. So you saw the opinions that came back, and I think they were valid, very valid opinions. But I'm also now reflecting back on what Jay Scott said, which is, there's no way for the chair to say no. And then that triggered in my mind that as part of the GCOT, we actually spent a lot of time discussing the chair position, how potentially a chair could be removed if not acting appropriately, because the chair is the one person on the council, and Avery, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more familiar with the council than I am operationally, is neutral. The chair is the one person that's neutral. So it just seems to me the there's already sort of a baked-in intent here in the GNSO Council operating procedures for how the chair should behave. And it seems to me logically that the chair should have the discretion to be able to make a decision, not have to default to just no. Certainly other members of the GNSO Council may have a different motivation besides neutrality, which is what we're kind of inferring with stonewalling tactics, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the chair doesn't have that luxury. So I think that, you know, maybe an option C, because as we said, this registry stakeholder group anyway didn't prefer option A or B. Is there an option C that allows the chair to have that discretion? And for those more familiar with the council in terms of actually being on it, because I've never been on the GNSO council, but I think Jay Scott has, I think Avery has, others have, how do you feel about that kind of an option to give the chair the discretion to be able to make that decision? Obviously, I think the chair would look across the room, see where everybody's at, and then have the ability to make a decision on that issue. So I want to throw that out for thought.
Okay, Ray, that's an interesting point and raised. And so maybe we could think about in general at first, and then go into details and think about it in case. So a chair would have this discretion. So what does it mean, and under which conditions, and this and that. So what does it mean? But let's just ask it first and see what are the opinions. I see Avery here.
Okay, Avery, yes. Please. Thank you, Avery, again. I believe the chair already has the discretion. I don't believe we need to do anything. I think that Stefan made the decision he did that was based on his interpretation of what he could and couldn't do. I think there's nothing in the rules that told him one way or another what he needed to do, and so I believe that leaving it open, leaving it in the status quo, does give, and that's kind of what I mean about G Council pressure. You know, he made the decision once about deferring once. I don't believe it wasn't even a second deferral; it was a first deferral, and he made a decision in that case that, you know, and there was some pressure on him to make a different decision, and I think in the future that pressure might prompt a different chair to decide differently, because there is nothing, as was kind of indicated by Ray, that forced him to interpret it one way or another. So, and as I say, I think because of the complexity of the council and because of, you know, accepting the reality that even though sometimes it is a collegial body, it doesn't always behave that way. that, you know, if we're going to put rules in, then we have to be very specific about the rules so that they are more difficult to game. But realizing that any time you write a rule, you create new opportunities to game. So at this point, we may be at the minimum gaming potential, and anything we add now raises that potential. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Ari. So if I understand that correctly, so you say since there is no, nothing is prescribed in the rules regarding the behavior of the chair, he could take the choice either this way or that way. That's how I understand your interpretation. And Ray's interpretation may be that there is a need of setting a certain rule regarding the chair's behavior in such a case. Is that what we are discussing here? Ray, please.
Indirectly, I think. I think we have a difference of opinion here. It may be an interpretation. I think Avery is interpreting that no such rule exists that does not allow the chair the discretion to override a deferral. But on the other hand, we have a living example of where the chair actually opinioned that he was not able to override that. It seems to me an interpretation issue here, and is it worthy of the SCI to try to remedy or resolve that interpretation in some manner in the affirmative? Understanding. Now to your point, Wolf, now understanding that, should the chair not use that discretion in the best interest of the council as a whole, right, in the position of being neutral, well, then there are other mechanisms within the GNSO Council operating procedures for people to bring a complaint or object or what have you in order to bring the chair back in line. So those are known. Those exist, and the chair is aware of that. So I think that's part of the cross-check, the balance that is meant to exist within the operating procedures, which then if you look at it the other way, seems to indicate that the chair should be allowed that discretion because the chair is the only one, I believe, that is held to that kind of standard or bar. So that's the logic. So we have a difference of interpretation, it seems to me, and then should the SCI solve that interpretation?
Okay, thank you. Anne, please.
Yes, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise, alternate on the IPC, and I simply have a question I'm trying to learn about the operation of the GNSO, and I wanted to know what would be the source in the governance documents of the chair's authority to override a deferral, as Avery was suggesting. I'm just not really quite understanding how the chair would get such a power unless it's somehow in the bylaws or the documents, which I'm not familiar with.
Yes. So if I see also on the chat some exchange here regarding that, and the question is really is for my personal feeling as well. So I would feel okay. With regard to that, a chair would need something. Let me say where he can refer to. Why he is doing this and that, and why he is taking or thinking about that he has a discretion, to overrule it in this way or that way. So that is, from my feeling, is needed, and that is what I see. Also, Jay Scott is pointing to that, saying, "Okay, we need a definition, a quite clear definition of that." On the other hand, correctly understood, Avery, saying, okay, if there is nothing against or in favor of that discretion, then it's up to the chair, to take a choice. So would that be a for me it's not clear. Would that be an interpretation which could be seen that way and could, let me say, be used by a chair in that way? So I'm not sure about that. I personally have the feeling, okay, there must be something where the chair could rely on, though, if he takes a decision in that decision that way. But okay, I'm open to learn. Ron, please. Ron? Are you on mute? Ron, are you still there?
I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
The mute button is a can be a real pain sometimes. Apologies. Are you still there, Chair?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I'm sorry. I went silent for a second. So the point here is I agree with what you're saying. And the Chair does have these types of discretions in terms of Chairman's prerogative on all range of matters. I think we're trying to split hairs here. We all agree that there is an issue and that it came to us because there was no policy. But again, we don't have to have a policy to cover every element of ICANN's existence.
Mm.
The point is it should be something that flows and functions not like the United Nations, where there has to be 25 stamps on the page before we can agree that we can go forward and do something, and whatever we're going to go do is now no longer important because we spent all the time getting the requisite 25 stamps.
Mm.
I think that the principles are all well stated. No one disagrees with anything anyone's saying, but we do know ICANN is an animal, and we do know that there are biases, whether one wants to agree to say it publicly or not, at chair level or at all levels, depending on what the affiliation of that individual is, or the affiliations of the individuals who make up the council itself. So the point here is, you know, we really need to look at this clearly, but I think we're trying to get down into so deep in the weeds on all the possibilities. There's a million things that could spring out as a result of this. But Avery said it earlier, we don't need to make yet another policy to hope that will not cause more problems. There's always a chain reaction when something happens here. A train doesn't stop without all the other cars coming banging in behind it. So let's just let this train keep going. We don't need to have all of the other cars, you know, smashing up one against the other because of something we've now enshrined. It's not critical. It's not important right now for us to do something because we haven't seen huge abuse. Let's move past it because I think that we're going to be running out of time shortly, and I really believe that all of the elements we've said are valid. But we have to do one thing or another, and where we do not come together as a group is we can't agree on how many deferrals there should be, in what forms they should be, and all of the policies that go around that. But we do all agree that it would be good if this thing were not to continue, not to happen regularly, and that if we could see it as an anomaly when things do happen. And then the chairman is going to do what the chairman should do, and that is follow his heart. He's got to follow the proper business practices, but make his or her own decision in that moment. And then it may be challenged. And let that challenge proceed, because that's how we'll work out the wrinkles of this thing. But putting up more policy right now isn't going to help. So I'm recommending that we agree to defer this, not defer this, allow this deferral of motions to stay and test it and see what the net result is of this for another year and try to move on. Or we can bring it back to the table again for another call, but I think that we've been really talking about it for a very long time.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Avi, please.
Yeah. Just stepping back a little bit and making sure that, except for when we're talking about in the case of PDP, where I actually do believe this got enshrined in possibility, that it was basically a rule was made about in a PDP and deferrals. The original reason for this deferral, and I believe that I was the one that started this courtesy, or at least I certainly took it from before and kept it, is it was a courtesy, especially in the days when there was no 8-day, no 8-day period requirement for motions before being voted on. So, I mean, there's a part of me that believes that it's a practice whose time may be gone completely. I don't know that I want to make that decision at the moment either. But its original purpose is now gone. People have 8 days. You know, if that's not enough time, well, then maybe we need to think about how we do work within our constituencies and stakeholder groups. But if it is the case that there still is a reason for this courtesy to exist, and that's exactly what it was at the beginning, it was a courtesy that we used sometimes, and then it was used more, and then it became almost automatic. If there's a reason, the council can just stop doing it. It is not, except on PDPs. On PDPs, it is a rule. And in fact, in PDPs, they changed the rule because the courtesy was if a constituency or stakeholder group has a reason for deferring. And now it's sort of migrated to if an individual has a reason for it. So there's already been a migration in terms of the meeting. But it is just a practice based on courtesy. It is not in terms of general motion in the rules anywhere. And to start making rules on it, as I say, I'm willing to get into rule craftsmanship, but then I already started talking about things that I feel would need to be in there, and one of them would be reasons for doing it and reasons for not allowing it. And if we're going to start prescribing behavior, then I believe we need a full set of reasons. And that's why I really do argue for leaving it as it is, which is a practice and a courtesy, and that's all.
Okay, thank you. So let me try well to wrap this up a bit. So I think we have... Let me come from the end of that discussion. I can hear some kind of agreement on about or common opinion about the question whether the chair has a discretion to take a decision or not. So what we have different opinions on is whether this should be put in stone or not. So that was what I took from here. So this is one thing. The other thing is that we have also an agreement of at least one deferral. So that one deferral should be granted without. As a rule, is it at the time being without asking, okay, why or what is the reason? But it's just a question of courtesy. So the other thing is then what is to be done with a secondary deferral and more. If there is no agreement on that or different opinions on that, so the question would be for me whether how we could put that forward in a light approach or in a first approach, whether we could say, okay, let's do the status quo at the time being with one deferral as it is at the time being, and the discretion of the chair, well, to take any decision about that, should take place or should be granted or is seen by us, by our group. In any way, we wouldn't like to put it in stone at the time being, but it is seen that the chair can decide upon the question of deferral. And that we are going to monitor this for another time, for at least for 1 year, how it works, how the chair is doing with that. Do we have any problems, and what kind of problems we would have in the future? So this is how I see a first way to look at this. But maybe I'm totally wrong on that. So I'm put it in a wrong way. So let's discuss that. Ron, I see Ron.
Chair, I apologize. I have to say I think you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay.
I think that you're correct in the last part. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
What I'm saying here is that Jay Scott, I think he nailed it with his chat post. Okay, if you want to keep it as is, I think we need to clearly state that the chair has discretion to deny or to put to a vote. So what I think this group on this phone call are saying, in my view, is that status quo remains. However, if someone wants a deferral and makes a motion for a deferral, then the chair, based upon the information available to him at that time, has two options. One, to say, no, we're not going to defer that for one reason or another that the chair will then give. Or two, the chair will say, we would like to, I'm not sure myself as the chair, I would like to put it to a vote of the council. Then, if that's the case, then everything is done and dusted very quickly. And that's all we're looking for here, is a situation where no one can end up postponing or pushing off something indeterminately by using this loophole. So I think this is the key, is that leave it for a year, but under these conditions. This is what we're putting in place. We're not enshrining any new policy, but we're just giving some guidance to the GNSO Council. The chair now has the discretion to make a decision at that time, whether he feels it's correct or incorrect, or put it to a vote. Whether they should give that deferral. I don't think we're going to see it very often, but at least it puts something in place that everyone on this call, as far as I see it, I agree with. So,
Ron, just the last question for that. Are you talking about all from the first requirement for a deferral, or talking about this the second?
From the beginning, the point is none of us can agree here whether it's 1, 2, 5, or 10 deferrals, and neither on the principles for which you get a deferral. What we can say is that when someone comes up and makes this deferral, this is in keeping with my entire argument this whole day and for all the period we've discussed this. It is about a light touch. Light touch means we leave it the status quo.
Okay. Yeah.
However, we do agree that if there is a circumstance that should arise, a chair should have some discretion. I don't disagree with that. I don't think anybody else does. I'll let them speak for themselves. But the point here is that with that discretion, the chair then can make a determination that she sees this, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, and says no, just outright, because the policies are such that that we don't have anything in terms of deferral, so he makes an executive decision, or his decision is, I'm not feeling fully comfortable in making this decision, so I'll put it out to the entire GNSO council to vote. And that's fine. If the council then all say, you know what, we can defer, no problem. I have no problem with that, because basically we've got all of the voices are being heard, and no stonewalling happened. Everyone agrees. That's the point. So
okay.
I think that I think Jay Scott, in his few words here, nailed it. He's in the queue. I'll let him explain himself.
There he is. He's in the queue. At first, Anne, and then Jay Scott, please.
Yes, so for Rich, this is Anne, and I just wanted to express the opinion that I don't think the SCI itself can really determine what are the powers of the chair or not in this situation, because the SCI is not an advisory board or doesn't give a legal opinion to the GNSO of what the chair can and cannot do. Just from the standpoint of governance, I don't see how the SCI can tell the GNSO the powers of the chair we believe are X or Y. And I think, there's been, with respect to the chat, there's been a mention that if the chair is not seen as neutral, that there's a complaint process that can, complaints can be filed against the chair for not being neutral. But it does seem to me that what's needed is clear governance that allows the chair not to be afraid of having complaints filed against him, because it seems that, that I would certainly, if I put myself in the position of chair, be quite concerned that I was exercising discretion beyond my authority if I were to
I understand, and so my only question is not that the SCI is a body to empower the chair in any way, but the question is the interpretation of the existing rules at the time being, and what is behind that, and what well, what could be seen, there may be that it's, that we need some more advice about that. But so my personal recollection from the discussion was that I thought, okay, anyway, if the rules don't describe, and somebody is of the opinion that, okay, because there is nothing in the rule about that, so that means that could be seen as, okay, the chair could have this discretion on the one hand. Others are saying, no, if the chair would like to have this discretion, it must be in the rules in that. So this is, for me, the question, either this or that way. So that's what I would like to find out, though, how to go that. Otherwise, maybe we need some interpretation on that. But Jay Scott, I see Jay Scott and Ray, and then, oh, we are going well to the end of that session. So and we sorry about that, but that must be discussed. And Jay Scott, please.
I think I can handle Aubrey's concern regarding codification, because my suggestion is not that we state anything. I think what we would say is our recommendation is that the practice would stay as it is currently, and that it be looked at by staff, and if, you know, to be raised at another time if there's abuse or something to that effect. But in our reasoning, we would state that the reason we have left it the same is we believe that there is a safety valve, because this is a organic process that developed as a courtesy under the discretion of the chair. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that just, there is nothing that prescribes the chair in his or her discretion from denying this type of courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can either be done at the chair's own behest, or another mechanism, for example, putting it to a vote of the council.
Mm-hmm.
But not to put that in some sort of rule, but to put that in our reasoning to say, we believe the safety valve is already there, but I think we need to clearly enunciate what that safety valve is so that a chair can say, well, this has been looked at, and I'm going to exercise the discretion that everyone, the community, has agreed that I have in this instance, and I'm going to proceed as X.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about making a rule. I'm just talking about somehow putting in there a reasoning that picking up on Aubrey's point, it's in the discretion. Okay, well, tell them that's the reason we're leaving it the way it is. Don't have it out there so people assume. Because mm-hmm. I do believe Stefan believed his hands were tied.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a discretion to do anything else. And if we believe it's within his discretion, then I think we need to tell the community that's what we think.
Yes.
I don't think it has to be any heavy-handed rule.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay Scott. Well, what I've seen here right now in the chat is, well, agreement from Ray, from Ron. I think Aubrey is raising her hands. I would, if that is possible, and I would appreciate if you could you write down some in some small sentences, write what you have said, so and provide it on the list to us so that we can see that that reasoning in written form, though, and then we have a chance, well, maybe that we can come on. Oh, thank you very much, Sean. Do you agree? Thanks very much. Avi?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say is if we stop at this is a courtesy given at the discretion of the chair, period, I can live with that. Once we start going further and saying, and she can defer it, and she can do a vote, or she could, then I start to have issues in that we're starting to make rules. If we say in our reason, this is originally a courtesy, this remains a courtesy, except in PDPs, at the, you know, at the discretion of the chair and just leave it at that without trying to push the chair one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would be great. So I'm looking forward, well, to Jay Scott's writing. That would be helpful, I think so. And then we can exchange further things on the list. Thank you very much. So we are at the end of the meeting already. So I would like to talk about some more how to proceed in the future. Do we have as next the voting thresholds? Marika, what should we take into consideration for that, for the next discussion?
This is Marika. I think we shared the language that we proposed from our side, but I don't think there has been any further discussion on the list, so I don't know if it's worth sharing that again and asking people for feedback.
It would be helpful. Please put it again on the list so that we are reminded well to do so. That would be helpful, so that we can step in really the next time into that. Then I have put, just to let you know, I've asked for a slot in Toronto for a one-hour SCI meeting at the beginning of the weekend on Saturday morning from 9 to 10. So that is fixed right now, and we will see what we can do. As usual, we will have a meeting there from 9 to 10, unless so we have less participation. So if there are anybody not participating, or let me know on the list, so who is I will share that agenda with you, and then you can see and then you can share with me whether it's feasible for you or not to participate in that. So last point is next call. What about, let's talk about in 2 weeks from now, we shall have a council meeting, but that doesn't matter. So we could also have a call, SCI call that date. Would that be okay on the 13th of September? 13th, would that be? So there's no opposition to that. So let's take this date, and I'll send out an agenda as well. Okay, thank you very much for today. Lively discussion on that. I do hope that we will come to an agreement next time on the deferrals. And thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the SCI call on the 30th of August. And on the line, we have Avery Doria, Wolf Ulrich Knobin, Ron Andruff, Ray Fassett, Anne Aikman-Skelezi, and for staff, and J. Scott Evans has just joined. And for staff, we have Julie Headland, Marika Koenig, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Gerie. We have apologies from Mary Wong, and as far as I know, there are no other apologies. So before I hand over to Rolf Ulrich Knobin, may I just ask you all please to say your name before you speak for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rolf Ulrich.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and good afternoon, good evening, hello to everybody. Let's go through the agenda right now. So we have first the statement of interest, and I would like to ask if anybody has something to disclose with regards to the statement of interest. I hear none.
Well, actually, this is Aubrey, and I should probably mention in a group like this that I'm now also an observer in the registry stakeholder group.
Okay, good. That's noted. Thank you. I have sent out an approval prepared by myself and Avery and the agenda for the, and then I'm asking for approval. Is there any comment on the agenda? Thank you. Nothing. So then let's start with the agenda. At first, we have the point of the consent agenda, which you have several times talked about. And we had in the past a public comment on what we have recommended with regards to the modifications of the GNSO operating procedures. The public comment period has been finished. There was an evaluation done by staff of the public comments. To my knowledge, there was just one comment from the registry giving support to that. And this period is now closed, and we should talk about and the follow-up of this right now. Julie, am I right? So may I ask you, what is the status about that?
Hello, Wolf Ulrich. It's Julie Hedlund, for the record. Yes, the public comment period closed, reply period closed on the 20th of August. There was one comment received. It was from the Registry Stakeholder Group, and it was in favor of the proposed changes to the operating procedures. I prepared a very brief analysis of that one comment and posted that to the SCI list for review, and so that's the current status.
Thank you very much, Julie. So, right now, it seems to be that there is consensus in this group and then about this content agenda, and there's an agreement on that. So what we should do, I think, is we should inform the council and ask for the for that what we have provided for that. That means I'm going well to give the council some a report about that, a report about what we have discussed, and then putting forward a CI recommendation. The question is in which form we should do that. Is that normally done in form of a motion that we have to get approval by the council from? I see Marika.
This is Marika. Yes, I think it would be the appropriate way to go to have it in the form of a motion. I did know that I think Stefan has put it on the consent agenda as an item, foreseeing that this might be coming. So I think it's at least already there, but I guess it could still be taken back. Although I think Stefan's approach has been so far that only items that didn't have a motion could be on the consent agenda, but it's interesting to see now that, of course, the new provision foresees that any motion can be there unless it's not a policy or PDP-related vote. So we might need to talk on the chair's call how to handle that one.
Okay. But you mean for the next meeting on the 13th of September?
Yes, correct. And I'm happy to prepare a draft motion if you like.
Okay, that would be great. So we have Julie has already prepared some background, short background. That if you could incorporate that to the draft motion, that would be helpful.
Yes, definitely. And I think as well, what is on the screen now, because what Julie prepared is the report of public comments. So if there are no further comments are added to that, we can also go ahead and post that report and close the form officially.
Okay.
I think, this is Julie, though. I think what's on the screen now that I look at it is actually the, that was the original announcement. The analysis report is a different document. I can go ahead and try to put that on the screen. Or what we could do is, I did post that to the list. it is really exceedingly brief. There is no complexity involved in analyzing that one comment because really all the report says is there was a comment received, and this is in brief what it said, and it was support in support of that, you know, of those changes. So if there are no objections from the SEI, that analysis can go ahead and be posted to the online, and then that will effectively close the whole forum, and it will be archived.
Yes, that would be helpful. But I mean, what in case you will have a motion on that in the next a council meeting, that it would be helpful that we have a draft motion which makes reference to what we have done, what you know, and that is written already in your short background and discussion paper you sent out last time. Remember that after last meeting, you provided some background information on that. I think that could be incorporated in the draft motion, and then we forward that to the council, and I can also explain something if there are questions.
Right. This is Julie. I'll work with Marika on that and make sure that all the information is in place.
Okay, I see also Ron is agreeing to that. Thank you. Is there any question about that process or any something open? No. Okay, thank you. Then the same is the next item we have on the agenda. Is then the voting? It's the same. Okay, under the same item is with regards to the voting results. So we have. I think we could also add the voting results table and provide that to the council. And they okay. That is the update of the voting results table and. As required, and there's consensus on that, and that is what we can refer to in the council meeting as well. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think what we can do is, as part of the motion, provide them with, like we put out for public comment, the redline version of the operating procedure so they can see indeed the changes that were made in relation to the consent agenda as well as the voting thresholds on the voting table, and then have, you know, the clean version is then the one that they approve, and once that gets done, that will then get posted as well on the GNSO website.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, then it seems to me that we have two of these points already done, and then we have the next point on the agenda is proxy voting procedure, where we had also a recommendation to the council, and this is what I'm that is what Julie provided some background information with regards to our discussion we had on that. And our recommendation not to change the proxy notification procedures, the operating rules, rather than to request staff for making this little change in the rules with regards to the notification, which should be sent in parallel to the GNSO Council and to the Secretariat in parallel. So that's what we are on. And this is what we need to provide for the council as well to get acceptance from our recommendation. So I wonder whether this should be included as well in the in that motion we are talking about, that if that is possible, or. Well, I would say, because we have an agreement, we could incorporate that. And, okay, I see many raising their hands and saying yes. So let's do that. And I'm asking Julie and Marike well to take care about that well, to incorporate that in the motion. Is that okay?
Marike, yes, that's okay. The only thing there we need to see how to word, because I think basically the recommendation is to make no changes, but I think we can just cover that in one of the sub-items.
Yes. Okay. Good. Then let's go to the next point. Deferral of motions, which is still under discussion. Just to wrap up from the last time, so we came out from the last meeting asking one for making suggestions, and one came back with say two versions of suggestions. One is let's wait and see, let me say, for another year, and let's monitor the council and what's going on with regards to requests for deferral. And let's then, after that time, decide. And the other one was let it change right now. It means and set a limit on the number of deferrals. And then the suggestion was, well, one limit, set a limit of one deferral which should be allowed, and put that item of deferral to the agenda and to a, let me say, priority place of the agenda of the next council session. So that's where we are, and we had a, let me say, kind of voting or kind of opinion rating on the list with some support to the first suggestion, and there was support or was this support for the second suggestion as well, and there was disagreement and there was amendments. So we have many facets of, and we have many things to discuss about that. And I open that for discussion right now, and I see Juan. Please, Juan.
Thank you, Chairman. I think you just described that situation very clearly, and I appreciate it. Thank you. I just wanted to comment that everything that we've done today has moved through this program very beautifully. We've looked at consent agenda, we've looked at proxy voting, we've looked at other elements, and now we're on deferral of motions. And mostly we've had a very light touch, and it's been great to see it. There's so many elements within ICANN right now that are being defined by policy and procedures and things to do around the new TLD program that affect all of the constituencies. We've got GNSO review coming up shortly. There's a lot of things where policy and development is underway. So I think the fact that we have managed a light touch is admirable. And I just want to put my vote in here. I see there was a vote was not the right word. There really these are expressions of interest or expressions of support for either one. And I just wanted to mention that I also supported the light touch approach to look 1 year from now and see if this is not if this has been abused, have staff come back to us and demonstrate that. I think because we've raised this to the level we have and people are aware of the issue, I think most people would be loath to try to exploit the situation and use a deferral of motions for a negative way. So I would like to see this thing come through 1 year from now where staff says, well, we looked at it again and there were very few deferrals and these are the reasons, and we go, oh, wow, that's good. We actually figured out policy, and then we implemented that policy in a way that we can be very proud of. So I'm hoping that we go the light touch route, but I'm happy to support the second route where we would set a limit. I strongly believe one is plenty, and the deferral shows up immediately in the next meeting. I think that really hinders the issue. But I would hope we go light touch on this. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. Avi, next, please.
Thank you, Avi Doria. Yeah, in terms of myself and discussions within NCSG, the only reason that I didn't go in favor of a light touch is that I'm not even sure that we need to plan on putting it on the table already for next year. I think if it becomes an issue again, it's easy enough for the council to raise it. We come back, we say, you know, recommend staying with status quo, you know, if it starts to bother people because they don't think it's working right, then ask again, and not put an automatic timer on it. That's pretty much the only reason I didn't go on a light touch. Definitely against two, definitely against the notion of there being one and only one, because just like having many can be an abuse, knowing that someone is limited to one can also be abused. And so I think that if we're not going with a light touch, if we're not expecting a collegial G council to behave itself and only do it when it's necessary and such, then I think we need a much more complicated set of rules that deal with reasons for deferral and allow for multiples. So that's pretty much where, you know, NCSG stands on this at the moment. I think one of the reasons we have gotten through is because when we have found that we have, you know, different objections, like in the proxy voting, someone basically just sort of drops back and sort of says, okay, let's live with what we've got, essentially. So I think in this case, with many disparate views of how it should be done, you know, the best option we have is to live with it. And if it doesn't work, then review it again when asked. Thanks.
Thanks, Alfred. Let me just ask for clarification question regarding your discussion coming from the NCSG. You mentioned, if I understand well, you would be in favor with the status quo. On the one hand, status quo means the situation we have at the time being. So that's my understanding. But on the other hand, you would be in favor for more than one deferrals. Or let me say it the other way around, and then would be against the option of having only one.
Yeah.
one deferral. So how does that fit together? So is my question, is there a priority of one or two? Or?
At the moment, for example, the status quo is not specific about whether it can be done just once. And
okay.
Therefore, there isn't a strict block to once. Obviously,
yes.
Every time you do it, the pressure on you from the G Council to have a really good reason is already naturally there. Now, Ron had said he wanted to limit it to one to ensure no stonewalling, and I agree with that. But, for example, if the reason for deferring it once is that more information is required, and that information does not show up, another form of stonewalling, perhaps. And, you know that I don't have to give you the information that's been asked for because you can't defer again based on missing information. So that's sort of the opposite case that allows for abuse. It's a different form of stonewalling, you know.
Uh-huh.
So basically that's why I believe NCSG, we've talked about it, is very against a hard limit of just one.
Okay.
But very much doesn't even necessarily believe in an automatic one, and would argue that if there is a set of rules, then there probably should even be a rule for the first one, and just the 8 days wasn't enough for us to get a comment isn't a good enough rule, and therefore we need to be really think about why and not. I would prefer to just leave status quo. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Jay Scott, please.
Well, I think my problem is I don't have a problem with the status quo except for the fact that there's no ability when there are exigent circumstances to change that, or at least that's what Stefan said in Costa Rica, was he had to grant it, and even if a majority of people felt like granting a deferral of a motion would bog up the entire process due to time constraints, he had to grant it. So the problem I have is there's no flexibility in the status quo for when circumstances dictate that perhaps granting a deferral is not in the best interest of the council to get the issue resolved. So I don't have a problem with a light touch approach, but the problem is there is no way for anyone to say no under the current process. And the explanation that I heard Stefan say, well, this has been an informal thing that's always been granted to everybody. For that reason, I'm going to grant it here. So I don't think that's a workable situation. I just don't think that's workable. I don't think that's a solution. I have no problem with there being a very light touch rule that says anyone can ask for a deferral. They can ask for a deferral as many times as they want. The question is, when the majority of the council says, no, we don't buy it, we're going to vote you down, they should be able to do so. There should be some stopgap or safety mechanism put into play.
Okay, Juan, please. Juan, do you raise your hands?
Yes, okay, there. Sorry, I had to get off mute. I agree with what Jay Stott just said. The concept and the principle that there should be a way for the council to vote something down. My concern is that there's going to be, depending on what the issue is, it could be something that really strikes different groups and that you get a log jam again at the council level. I think what we want to do is try to, you know, I don't want to be Pollyanna because ICANN is far from, you know, this perfect child. But the fact is that we need to point to the things that work within ICANN as the overall discussion, even within the IGF. So here's something that worked. You know, there was a discussion about we need to have certain policies. That a group was put on it. That group then talked it all through and came up with the policy. It was enshrined in legalese by ICANN legal department, and then it was implemented. And when it came back for review, when something came up as not having have a patch on it, did we have to slap a patch on it? No. In fact, it works well, so we trusted that. To make sure that it's at the top of people's mind, that they know they can't abuse it because it's something that's being watched closely now by the community. And we just let it unfold, and in fact, a year from now, we didn't have that problem again. I think you can't go down the road and think that you're never going to get a hole in your tire, because sooner or later, you're going to get a hole in your tire. And so this just happened to this year, as you mentioned, Jay Scott, we got a hole in our tire, and this happened. Now let's see if we can go forward without putting a patch on it. Let's just see if it'll solve itself. And not you know, we've brought it the right attention to it. Again, the issue is more about people using this thing. I agree with Aubrey's argument, but also it's the stonewalling comment. It's just that at some point, someone is going to abuse this. So now it's not being abused, but it's being talked about quite significantly within this body and others. So, therefore, let's see what happens 12 months from now or whenever this thing raises its ugly head. But in 12 months, we'll get a review for sure. But if it raises its head again in 18 months, then let's put something on it with the STI that with a serious look at it and say, this has happened twice in a certain period of time. How do we deal with it then? I would rather go that way because otherwise you're going to have – we're just playing into one scenario or another. So, anyway, I'll jump off and let Ray take the word. Thank you.
Thanks, John. So I would like to refer to Ray because Ray had a different opinion also raised. He was not satisfied with both of the options. So in this case, but maybe he can explain again, please, Ray.
Yes, that's correct, Wolf. Ray Fassett. Yeah, a lot of help the registry stakeholder group was, right? They didn't like either one. So you saw the opinions that came back, and I think they were valid, very valid opinions. But I'm also now reflecting back on what Jay Scott said, which is there's no way for the chair to say no. And then that triggered in my mind that as part of the GCOT, we actually spent a lot of time discussing the chair position, how potentially a chair could be removed if not acting appropriately, because the chair is the one person on the council, and Avery, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more familiar with the council than I am operationally, is neutral. The chair is the one person that's neutral. So it just seems to me there's already sort of a baked-in intent here in the GNSO council operating procedures for how the chair should behave. And it seems to me logically that the chair should have the discretion to be able to make a decision, not have to default to just no. Certainly other members of the GNSO Council may have a different motivation besides neutrality, which is what we're kind of inferring with stonewalling tactics, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the chair doesn't have that luxury. So I think that, you know, maybe an option C, because as we said, this registry stakeholder group anyway didn't prefer option A or B. Is there an option C that allows the chair to have that discretion? And for those more familiar with the council in terms of actually being on it, because I've never been on the GNSO council, but I think Jay Scott has, I think Aubrey has, others have. How do you feel about that kind of an option to give the chair the discretion to be able to make that decision? Obviously, I think the chair would look across the room, see where everybody's at, and then have the ability to make a decision on that issue. So I'm going to throw that out for thought.
Okay, Ray, that's an interesting point and raised. And so maybe we could think about in general at first, and then go into details and think about it in case. So a chair would have this discretion. So what does he mean, and under which conditions, and this and that. So what does he mean? But let's just ask it first and see what are the opinions. I see Avery here.
Okay, thank you, Avery, again. I believe the chair already has the discretion. I don't believe we need to do anything. I think that Stefan made the decision he did that was based on his interpretation of what he could and couldn't do. I think there's nothing in the rules that told him one way or another what he needed to do. And so I believe that leaving it open, leaving it in the status quo, does give. And that's kind of what I mean about G Council pressure. You know, he made the decision once about deferring once. I don't believe it wasn't even a second deferral. It was a first deferral. And he made a decision in that case that, you know, And there was some pressure on him to make a different decision. And I think in the future, that pressure might prompt a different chair to decide differently. Because there is nothing, as was kind of indicated by Ray, that forced him to interpret it one way or another. So, and as I say, I think because of the complexity of the council, And because of, you know, accepting the reality that even though sometimes it is a collegial body, it doesn't always behave that way, that, you know, if we're going to put rules in, then we have to be very specific about the rules so that they are more difficult to game. But realizing that anytime you write a rule, you create new opportunities to game. So at this point, we may be at the minimum gaming potential, and anything we add now raises that potential. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Avi. So if I understand that correctly, so you say since there is nothing is prescribed in the rules regarding the behavior of the chair, he could takes a choice, either this way or that way. That's how I understand your interpretation. And Ray's interpretation may be that there is a need of setting a certain rule regarding the chair's behavior in such a case. Is that what we are discussing here? Ray, please.
Indirectly, I think. I think we have a difference of opinion here. It may be an interpretation. I think Avery is interpreting that no such rule exists that does not allow the chair the discretion to override a deferral. But on the other hand, we have a living example of where the chair actually opinioned that he was not able to override that. Maybe, you know, so I guess it seems to me an interpretation issue here, and is it worthy of the SCI to try to remedy or resolve that interpretation in some manner in the affirmative? Understanding now to your point, Wolf. Now understanding that should the chair not use that discretion in the best interest of the council as a whole, right? In the position of being neutral. Well, then there are other mechanisms within the GNSO council operating procedures for people to bring a complaint or object or what have you in order to bring the chair back in line. So those are known. Those exist, and the chair is aware of that. So I think that's part of the cross-check, the balance that is meant to exist within the operating procedures, which then if you look at it the other way, seems to indicate that the chair should be allowed that discretion because the chair is the only one, I believe, that is held to that kind of standard or bar. So that's the logic. So we have a difference of interpretation, it seems to me, and then should the SCI solve that interpretation?
Okay. Thank you. Anne, please.
Yes. Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise, alternate on the IPC, and I simply have a question I'm trying to learn about the operation of the GNSO, and I wanted to know what would be the source in the governance documents of the chair's authority to override a deferral, as Avery was suggesting. I'm just not really quite understanding how the chair would get such a power unless it's somehow in the bylaws or the documents, which I'm not familiar with.
Yes. So if I see also on the chat some exchange here regarding that, and the question is really from my personal feeling as well. So I would feel okay. With regard to that, a chair would need something. Let me say where he can refer to. Why he is doing this and that, and why he is taking or thinking about that he has a discretion, well, to overrule it in this way or that way. So that is, for my feeling, is needed. And that is what I see. Also, Jay Scott is pointing to that, saying, okay, we need a definition, a quite clear definition of that. On the other hand, if I correctly understood, Avery, saying, okay, if there is nothing against or in favor of that discretion, then it's up to the chair, well, to take a choice. So would that be a, for me it's not clear, but would that be an interpretation which could be seen that way and could, let me say, be used by a chair in that way? So I'm not sure about that. I personally have the feeling, okay, there must be something where the chair could rely on, though, if he takes a decision in that way. But okay, I'm open to learn. Ron, please. Ron, are you on mute? Ron, are you still there?
I beg your pardon. Yeah. The mute button is a can be real pain sometimes. Apologies. Are you still there, Chair?
Yes, sure.
Okay, I'm sorry. I went silent for a second. So the point here is I agree with what you're saying. And the Chair does have these types of discretions in terms of Chairman's prerogative on all range of matters. I think we're trying to split hairs here. We all agree that there is an issue and that it came to us because there was no policy. But again, we don't have to have a policy to cover every element of ICANN's existence. The point is it should be something that slows and functions not like the United Nations, where there has to be 25 stamps on the page before we can agree that we can go forward and do something, and whatever we're going to go do is now no longer important because we've spent all the time getting the requisite 25 stamps. I think that the principles are all well stated. No one disagrees with anything anyone's saying. But we do know ICANN is an animal, and we do know that there are biases whether one wants to agree to say it publicly or not, at chair level or at all levels, depending on what the affiliation of that individual is, or the affiliations of the individuals who make up the council itself. So the point here is, you know, we really need to look at this clearly, but I think we're trying to get down into so deep in the weeds on all the possibilities. There's a million things that could spring out as a result of this. But Aubrey said it earlier, we don't need to make yet another policy to hope that that will not cause more problems. There's always a chain reaction when something happens here. A train doesn't stop without all the other cars coming banging in behind it. So let's just let this train keep going. We don't need to have all of the other cars, you know, smashing up one against the other because of something we've now enshrined. It's not critical. It's not important right now for us to do something because we haven't seen huge abuse. Let's move past it because I think that we're going to be running out of time shortly, and I really believe that all of the elements we've said are valid. But we have to do one thing or another, and where we do not come together as a group is we can't agree on how many deferrals there should be, in what forms they should be, and all of the policies that go around that. But we do all agree that it would be good if this thing were not to continue, not to happen regularly, and that if we could see it as an anomaly when things do happen. And then the chairman is going to do what the chairman should do, and that is follow his heart. He's got to do the follow the proper business practices, but make his or her own decision in that moment. And then it may be challenged. And let that challenge proceed, because that's how we'll work out the wrinkles of this thing. But putting up more policy right now isn't going to help. So I'm recommending that we agree to allow this deferral of motions to stay and test it and see what the net result is of this for another year and try to move on. Or we can bring it back to the table again for another call, but I think that we've been really talking about it for a very long time.
Yes, sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Avi, please.
Yeah. Just stepping back a little bit and making sure that, except for when we're talking about in the case of PDP, where I actually do believe this got enshrined in possibility that it was basically a rule was made about in a PDP and deferral. The original reason for this deferral, and I believe that I was the one that started this courtesy, or at least I certainly took it from before and kept it, is it was a courtesy, especially in the days when there was no 8-day, no 8-day period requirement for motions before being voted on. So, I mean, there's a part of me that believes that it's a practice whose time may be gone completely. I don't know that I want to make that decision at the moment either. But its original purpose is now gone. People have 8 days. You know, if that's not enough time, well, then maybe we need to think about how we do work within our constituencies and stakeholder groups. But if it is the case that there still is a reason for this courtesy to exist, and that's exactly what it was at the beginning, it was a courtesy that we used sometimes, and then it was used more, and then it became almost automatic. This is a reason the council can just stop doing it. It is not, except on PDPs. On PDPs, it is a rule. And in fact, in PDPs, they changed the rule because the courtesy was if a constituency or stakeholder group has a reason for deferring. And now it's sort of migrated to if an individual has a reason for it. So there's already been a migration in terms of the meeting. But it is just a practice based on courtesy. It is not in terms of general motions in the rules anywhere. And to start making rules on it, as I say, I'm willing to get into rule craftsmanship, but then I already started talking about things that I feel would need to be in there, and one of them would be reasons for doing it and reasons for not allowing it. And if we're going to start prescribing behavior, then I believe we need a full set of reasons. And that's why I really do argue for leaving it as it is, which is a practice and a courtesy, and that's all.
Okay, thank you. So let me try to wrap this up a bit. So I think we have let me come from the end of that discussion. I think I can hear some kind of agreement on about or common opinion about the question whether the chair had a discretion to take a decision or not. So what we have different opinions on is whether this should be put in stone or not. So what I took from here. So this is one thing. The other thing is that we have also an agreement of at least one deferral. So that one deferral should be granted without. As a rule, is it at the time being without asking, okay, why or what is the reason? But it's just a question of courtesy. So the other thing is then what is to be done with a secondary deferral and more. As we have. If there is no agreement on that or different opinions on that, so the question would be for me whether how we could put that forward in a light approach or in a first approach, whether we could say, okay, let's do the status quo at the time being with one deferral as at the time being, and the discretion of the chair to take any decision about that should take place or should be granted or is seen by us, by our group. In any way, we wouldn't like to put it in stone at the time being, but it is seen that the chair can decide upon the question of deferral. And that we are going to monitor this for another time, for at least for 1 year, how it works, how the chair is doing with that. Do we have any problems, and what kind of problems we would have in the future? So this is how I see a first way to look at this, but. Maybe I'm totally wrong on that, so I put it in a wrong way. So let's discuss that. Ron.
Chair, I apologize. I have to say I think you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay.
No, I think that you're correct in the last part. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
What I'm saying here is that Jay Scott, I think he nailed it with his chat post. Okay, if you want to keep it as is, I think we need to clearly state that the chair has discretion to deny or to put to a vote. So what I think this group on this phone call are saying, in my view, is that status quo remains. However, if someone wants a deferral and makes a motion for a deferral, then the chair, based upon the information available to him at that time, has two options. One, to say, no, we're not going to defer that for one reason or another that the chair will then give. Or two, the chair will say, we would like to, I'm not sure myself as the chair, I would like to put it to a vote of the council. Then, if that's the case, then everything is done and dusted very quickly. And that's all we're looking for here, is the situation where no one can end up postponing or pushing off something indeterminately by using this loophole. So I think this is the key, is that leave it for a year, but under these conditions. This is what we're putting in place. We're not enshrining any new policy, but we're just giving some guidance to the GNSO Council. The chair now has the discretion to make a decision at that time, whether he feels it's correct or incorrect, or put it to a vote, whether they should give that deferral. I don't think we're going to see it very often, but at least it puts something in place that everyone on this call, as far as I see it, agree with. So
Ron, just the last question for that. Is there, are you talking about all from the first requirement for a deferral, or talking about this the second?
No, from the beginning. The point is none of us can agree here whether it's 1, 2, 5, or 10 deferrals, and neither on the principles for which you get a deferral. What we can say is that when someone comes up and makes this is in keeping with my entire argument this whole day, and for all the period we've discussed this, it is about a light touch. Light touch means we leave it the status quo.
Okay. Yeah.
However, we do agree that if there is a circumstance that should arise, a chair should have some discretion. I don't disagree with that. I don't think anybody else does. I'll let them speak for themselves. But the point here is that with that discretion, the chair then can make a determination that he sees this as, you know, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, and says no. Just outright, because the policies are such that there is not that we don't have anything in terms of deferral. So he makes an executive decision, or his decision is I'm not feeling fully comfortable in making this decision, so I'll put it out to the entire GNSO council to vote, and that's fine. If the council then all say, you know what, we can defer, no problem. I have no problem with that, because basically we've got all of the voices are being heard, and no stonewalling happened. Everyone agrees. That's the point. So
okay.
I think that I think Jay Scott, in his few words here, nailed it. He's in the queue. I'll let him explain himself.
There he is. He's in the queue. At first, Anne, and then Jay Scott, please.
Yes, well, Ulrich, this is Anne, and I just wanted to express the opinion that I don't think the SCI itself can really determine what are the powers of the chair or not in this situation, because the SCI is not an advisory board or doesn't give a legal opinion to the GNSO of what the chair can and cannot do. I, you know, just from the standpoint of governance, I don't see how the SCI can tell the GNSO the powers of the chair we believe are X or Y. And I think, you know, there's been, with respect to the chat, there's been a mention that if the chair is not seen as neutral, that there's a complaint process that can, you know, complaints can be filed against the chair for not being neutral. But it does seem to me that what's needed is clear governance that allows the chair not to be afraid of having complaints filed against him, because it seems that, you know, that I would certainly, if I put myself in the position of chair, be quite concerned that I was exercising discretion beyond my authority if I were to
I understand, and so my only question is not that the SCI is a body to empower the chair in any way, but the question is the interpretation of the existing rules at the time being, and what is behind that, and what could be seen. There may be that we need some more advice about that, but my personal recollection from the discussion was that I thought, okay, anyway, if the rules don't describe, and somebody is of the opinion that, okay, because there is nothing in the rule about that, so that means that could be seen as, okay, the chair could have this discretion on the one hand. Others are saying, no, if the chair would like to have this discretion, it must be in the rules in that. So this is, for me, the question, either this or that way. So that's what I would like to find out, though, how to go that. Otherwise, maybe we need some interpretation on that. But Jay Scott, I see Jay Scott and Ray, and then, oh, we are going well to the end of that session, sorry about that, but that must be discussed. And Jay Scott, please.
I think I can handle Aubrey's concern regarding codification, because my suggestion is not that we state anything. I think what we would say is our recommendation is that the practice would stay as it is currently, and that it be looked at by staff, and if, you know, to be raised at another time if there's abuse or something to that effect. But in our reasoning, we would state But the reason we have left it the same is we believe that there is a safety valve because this is a organic process that developed as a courtesy under the discretion of the chair. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that just, there is nothing that prescribes the chair in his or her discretion from denying this type of courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can either be done at the chair's own behest or another mechanism, for example, putting it to a vote of the council.
Mm-hmm.
But not to put that in some sort of rule, but to put that in our reasoning to say, we believe the safety valve is already there, but I think we need to clearly enunciate what that safety valve is so that a chair can say, well, this has been looked at, and I'm going to exercise the discretion that everyone, the community, has agreed that I have in this instance, and I'm going to proceed as X.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about making a rule. I'm just talking about somehow putting in there a reasoning picking up on Aubrey's point, it's in the discretion. Okay, well, tell them that's the reason we're leaving it the way it is. Don't have it out there so people assume, because mm-hmm. I do believe Stefan believed his hands were tied.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a discretion to do anything else. And if we believe it's within his discretion, then I think we need to tell the community that's what we think.
Yes.
I don't think it has to be any heavy-handed rule.
Thank you, Jay Scott. Well, what I've seen here right now in the chat is well agreement from Ray, from Ron. I think Aubrey is raising her hands. I would, if that is possible, and I would appreciate if you could you write down some in some small sentences, write what you have said, so and provide it on the list to us so that we can see that that reasoning in written form, though, and then we have a chance, well, maybe that we can come on. Oh, thank you very much, Charles. You agree? Thanks very much. Aubrey?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say is if we stop at this is a courtesy given at the discretion of the chair, period, I can live with that. Once we start going further and saying, and she can defer it, and she can do a vote, or she could, then I start to have issues in that we're starting to make rules. If we mm-hmm. say in our reason, this is originally a courtesy, this remains a courtesy, except in PDP, at the discretion of the chair, and just leave it at that without trying to push the chair one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would be great. So I'm looking forward, well, to Jay Scott's writing. That would be helpful, I think so. And then we can exchange further things on the list. Thank you very much. So we are at the end of the meeting already. So I would like to talk about how to proceed in future. Do we have as next the voting thresholds? Marika, what should we take into consideration for the next discussion?
This is Marika. I think we shared the language that we proposed from our side, but I don't think there has been any further discussion on the list, so I don't know if it's worth sharing that again and asking people for feedback.
It would be helpful. Please put it again on the list so that we are reminded well to do so. That would be helpful, so that we can step in really the next time into that. Then I have put, just to let you know, I've asked for a slot in Toronto for a 1-hour SCI meeting at the beginning of the weekend on Saturday morning from 9 to 10. So that is fixed right now, and we will see what we can do. As usual, we will have a meeting there from 9 to 10, unless so we have less participation. So if there are anybody not participating, or let me know on the list, so who is, I will share that agenda with you, and then you can see, and then you can share with me whether it's feasible for you or not to participate in that. So last point is next call. What about, let's talk about in 2 weeks from now, we shall have a council meeting, but that doesn't matter. So we could also have a call, SCI call that date. Would that be okay on the 13th of September? 13th, would that be? So there's no opposition to that. So let's take this date, and I'll send out an agenda as well. Okay, thank you very much for today. Lively discussion on that. I do hope that we will come to an agreement next time on the deferrals. And thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.